Club Network, it's the Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker.
Ah, great good morning to you. Yes, maybe it's evening, afternoon. It's a gorgeous day in Hawaii. I wish you could come and visit. It's Saturday the 21st, and the golf club is online at radiogolfclub.com. Thank you for stopping by. In the clubhouse this morning from Hogan's Alley, the Colonial, where they're playing the Crowne Plaza Invitational, Golf World Magazine executive editor and Golf Digest senior writer Ron Syrak. But first, I want to tell you, we have prizes today. Rounds of golf at Poipu Bay Golf Course. And we're celebrating the 37th anniversary of Alaka'i Mechanical. And instead of us giving them presents, they're giving us presents in the form of Nike Power Distance golf balls. And so for the next 24 weeks, some lucky person is going to be the 18th caller. And that's all you've got to do to win those Nike Power Distance golf balls from Alaka'i Mechanical. Your expert plumbers on call 24/7, on time, on budget, done right. Just call Alaka'i Mechanical. Star Protection for property threat and risk assessment, for protection for your home, your neighborhood, your business. Get the Star Team on your property. Star Protection is what you need in Hawaii and California. Moon Physical Therapy, doctor recommended, of course she's insurance approved. She's Julie Moon at Moon Physical Therapy. And Poipu Bay Golf Course, just give them a call, 742-8711. They've got special packages for Kama'aina and visitor alike, Kauai's South Shore gem, playing beautifully from tee to green. That's Poipu Bay Golf Course. Now, welcoming to the show, Ron Syrak. Thanks so much for joining us.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thanks for having me, Daniel.
So much has happened since we've talked last. But before we start and get serious, all things considered, golf and some of the more serious things that happened in golf in the last couple of weeks, I really need to ask you something that's completely off the wall. And I'm amazed at some of the reaction that I get from men, many men, some women, but mostly men. It's about Ricky Fowler. And when he wears his hat backwards, he did it yesterday. He was on Golf Channel. He's talking about his round. His hat was on backwards. Some places won't even let him wear his hat backwards when he goes to the clubhouse. What do you think of Ricky Fowler wearing his hat backwards? Is that really a problem?
You know, I don't think it should be. He actually has a reasonable explanation, which he says, you know, people can see my face better when I do this because the brim isn't hanging over my face. That makes sense. I mean, you know, he's also got a logo back there that he wants people to see too. And look, every interview that's done with a professional golfer, they're wearing their hat because they get paid a lot of money to sell advertising space on their hat. And it just seems to me that, like, if we're okay with them wearing their hats indoors or wherever during an interview because they have an endorsement deal, why does anybody care which way they wear the hat? Also, we're trying to reach a younger audience, you know, so that's not a bad thing.
That's it. And I think the older guys think of it as, and it's mostly guys who get upset, frankly. It's the gang, you know, that's what gangs do. They're wearing their hair backwards to symbolize them. It has absolutely nothing to do with that. It's just a young thing that has been adopted by a larger group, which it happened in the 50s and the 60s and the 70s. Just something that, you know, if we want young people to be in the game, and that's something we do need, then let them wear what's stylish. Let them be comfortable. Let them bring it to the course so that other people feel like they can bring themselves to the course. I think that's one of the hardest things that we have to overcome in golf if we want to grow this game, is to allow young people to feel like they can bring themselves and feel comfortable in their own skin, which happens to be the clothes they put on.
I wrote a column about a year or so ago in which I got a lot of criticism for it, and essentially in which I argued that the private clubs and golf courses need to start to relax some of their dress code things. You know, I'm not talking about people should be able to come out in blue jeans with holes in them and stuff like that, but they have, you know, Natalie Gulbis wears a lot of clothing that you couldn't get on to a lot of private courses wearing because the shorts are too shorts and things like that. But
really,
but if we are trying to grow the game, then let's grow the game and let's I mean, look, you look back on it, Ben Hogan never wore a logo in his career, you know. I mean, but it's a different world now. It's a different world. Lee Westwood looks like a NASCAR driver now.
We were talking about that last week. All right, speaking of growing the game, all right, before we get to Hogan's Alley and the Colonial, which will be the bulk of our conversation, of course, Jack Nicklaus stirred up quite a hornet's nest. He suggested going to 12 hole rounds of golf. Now, Barney Adams was on the show a couple months ago, maybe six, I don't know, it all goes by so fast. Play it forward is his idea of encouraging at least the recreational golfers to move the tees forward. I think for men, some 1,000 yards. For women, it would be 500 yards. Just the opposite. Men, it would be 500. Women, 1,000. So he was on the show to talk about that. But and the USGA and the PGA of America and the superintendents kind of seemed like, but the 12-hole golf round really upset people. I looked at your magazine on Facebook, and the comments in 2 hours were amazing. They said, Jack Nicklaus is crazy. Lost his mind.
Well, you know, it wasn't that long ago that the USGA started accepting 9-hole rounds for handicap purposes, and that's a good thing. You know, the public course I grew up playing, I knew I could tee off at 7:30 in the evening, and I could play 10, 11, 12, cut over, and play 17 and 18. That's all the holes that I had time to get in before dark. So I made up my own golf course. And we do need to find more innovative ways to get people on the course. I read of one course that's starting to sell a charge by the hole, you know? If you want to play six holes, they'll charge you a price for that. And because time is a big issue in people's lives right now, particularly people with families and stuff, they don't want to be away from home for 6 hours. Well, if you can get them for 2 hours, take it. Get them on the golf course.
Yeah, I like the paper hole on that. That's good. It makes a lot of sense. It just does. And if you don't want to play 18, just play as many as you want. It just seems like it's a good idea, and I'm glad Mr. Nicklaus brought it up.
I visited a golf course in Sweden a few years ago doing a story on how golf got big there, and this course had a 9-hole course, a 12-hole course, and an 18-hole course. And I thought, that's a brilliant idea.
Okay.
You know, depending on how much time you've got in your day, you've got three different options.
Yeah. All right. I would like to switch now to Tiger Woods. And I know people say, you know, we've got this great event going on, and David Toms is in the lead, and he shot 262s, and why don't we just wrap up the Colonial and go home? But I got to talk about Tiger just to get him a couple of things. Why do you think he showed up at the Players last week at TPC Sawgrass?
I do think he wanted to test out his body and see how badly hurt he was and whether he was going to be able to get ready for the U.S. Open. I mean, everything in his life is about winning the major championships right now. I don't think he was pressured by the PGA Tour, because anybody who's been around Tiger knows he doesn't respond to that. In fact, he responds adversely to trying to be pressured to do anything. Was he maybe trying to do the right thing by helping them sell tickets and stuff, by at least trying to play? Probably. I think the more compelling question is, if he hadn't shot 42, would he have continued to play? You know, what hurt him worse, his knee or his performance?
Okay. You brought up a couple of questions in your article about his play and his attitude. And I thought the question about his attitude was interesting. What did you think?
I think he's got four things going on right now. I think he does have this physical problem. He's clearly got technical issues with his swing. But also emotionally, I don't think he's 100% engaged in playing the game of golf right now. He hit, in nine holes, he hit four atrocious short game shots. On number four, he chipped into the water hazard. On number nine, he chipped from the rough into the bunker. They were not easy shots, but they're the kind of shots we were used to Tiger pulling off. To me, that just screams that his mind wasn't entirely there. He's never had the struggle, ever. Even when he went through other swing changes, he still was competitive. He won tournaments. He contended in majors. And that's not happening right now. And I didn't see in him, at the Players, much of an appetite to struggle. He wasn't having a good time.
Yeah, and you can see in his eyes, and you're close enough to see that in his demeanor.
It's not. Look, this guy won a U. And I asked him after he quit at the Players. I said, "How does your knee hurt as bad as it did at Torrey Pines in 2008?" He said, "No, I had a broken leg then. It hurt much worse." So the follow-up question I wanted to ask was then, "Well, then how come you didn't tough it out and keep playing today?" You know, he played that U.S. Open in a lot of pain, and yeah, the Players isn't a major championship. But it's not a slouch tournament either, and it just didn't seem to me that he had the stomach or the desire to really tough it out on at the Players, and whether that comes back is going to be an interesting question.
Do you think it makes any sense to play the U.S. Open, given his condition?
This is part of the problem, is we really don't know the nature of his condition, because Tiger's camp is not very forthcoming. I mean, look, they tell us he hurt the knee on the 17th hole on Saturday at the Masters. Well, he goes out, shoots 31 on the front nine Sunday at the Masters, never shows any indication that he's in any sort of pain until after he hits his approach shot on 18 on Sunday, never says anything about, "I hurt my knee," until he comes back from his trip to China and Korea and pulls out of the Wells Fargo tournament. So there's just always been this withholding of information that makes us know. I mean, if he's hurt, maybe he should consider just shutting it down for the season and trying to come back next year healthy. But the bottom line is, we don't know how badly he's hurt.
Okay, interesting. People are talking about knee replacement surgery. I mean, what is he, 35? Your knee replacement will last you 20 years. So,
one of the great lines that was one of the doctors told me in the story that I wrote from the Players was, they were describing his latest injury as a minor injury to his knee. And this doctor said, if you're 35 years old, and your knee's been operated on four times, there's no such thing as a minor injury. And I think that's a sobering thought. So.
Yes, it is. Absolutely. We're going to take a break and come back and talk about Rory Sabatini, and we're going to go to the Colonial. We'll be back after this. My name is Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club. Waikuru Bay on Kauai's South Shore. Come share our home where the Grand Slam was played. Robert Trent Jones Jr. saw the mountains and felt the sea. Sure, great vistas and greens most people only dream of. Take the day off or do business with a bunch of your best customers. Come join the fun and the aloha at Waikuru Bay. Call us for your tee time, where great golf is played every day at Waikuru Bay.
Our company has been in business more than 30 years. And we depend on Alakai Mechanical for everything. They maintain our air conditioners, sheet metal on our new roof. They just installed our new commercial kitchen. Doesn't matter if you're big business, a condo, or mom and pop store. If you want your job done on time, on budget, and done right, do what we do. Call Alakai Mechanical across the way. The best minds in air conditioning, plumbing, and sheet metal. That's Alakai Mechanical.
Moon Physical Therapy is here to help you back to recovery. Moon Physical Therapy is located on Ward Avenue across from Sports Authority. Physician prescribed for motor vehicle accidents, workman's comp, or that body pain that comes from rushing to play without warming up. Also event cardiopulmonary rehabilitation with our one-on-one patient care. Moon's Aquatherapy heated endless pool allows for low-impact exercise with less pain on land. We will give you the right exercises to get you back to health. Ask your doctor to prescribe Moon Physical Therapy. Moon Physical Therapy. We achieve results.
Oh, man, will you look at that? It's right down the fairway. What a beautiful shot. Oh, man, can't be too happy about that one. Now, back to Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club.
Get ready. In a few minutes, we're going to be giving away the Nike Power Distance golf balls. We're talking with Ron Cyrak. He is the executive editor of Golf World and senior writer for Golf Digest. We haven't spoken since Seve Ballesteros passed away. His family was so gracious to let us know that he had taken a serious turn for the worse, and I had a feeling that something was going to happen very soon. Is there... Ron, is there anyone like Seve? for...
No, I think that you have to look at him as, particularly within the context of European golf, he was not only Europe's Arnold Palmer, he was their Muhammad Ali as well. You know, he grew the game globally. Would the European Tour be in the Middle East? Would it be in Asia now if it wasn't for Seve? It would have gotten there eventually, but it would have gotten there slower. He also stood up and was an advocate, a passionate advocate for European golf at a time when Americans were dominating the game. So he brought a new pride to European golf, and he brought whole new frontiers of growth to the game.
And he brought it to all countries in Europe. It wasn't just Spain. He represented the pride for everyone.
Absolutely. Those Ryder Cup teams, the European Ryder Cup teams, became not only competitive, they became victorious through sheer force of will by him. He was the kind of guy who just lifted everybody else around him, and he raised everybody else's passion for the game to the sheer force of his personality.
Do you think the European logo, so many of the guys do, and the Euro Tour says, the idea of the European logo becoming a Seve?
I think that's what it'll be next year. You know, yeah. I think they're not going to change it now. They'd have to reprint too much letterheads, you know. But they'll do it at the end of the year. It's a fitting tribute. So.
It certainly is. Yeah, now, speaking of tributes, the 2018 Ryder Cup, the bid went out. Unusual, never been done before, right? And five countries bid on it, and France and Spain were at the top. And a lot of people thought that Spain, with Seve passing certainly, might have the edge, but France got it. Were you surprised?
I was surprised in the sense that you think of Spain more in terms of golf than you do of France. I was not surprised insofar as that Spain has already had one Ryder Cup. They are looking to try to grow the game in France that way. And from what I hear, and I haven't been to this golf course, but from what I hear, it's one of the best courses that they play on the European Tour, and it's a very, it's a quality enough golf course for a Ryder Cup.
It's right near Versailles. Are you looking forward to going?
absolutely.
Yes. So the first thing I thought is I want to go to the 2018 Ryder Cup. It's going to be beautiful. You were at the World Golf Hall of Fame, and I have often asked myself this question. Why do we induct players at such a young age into the World Golf Hall of Fame? It seems like they don't have to. Now, don't get me wrong. You've got to earn your way in. You've got to win a lot of events. But you don't have to be very old to get in. Does that take away?
You can get in at 40 now. I'm a Hall of Fame voter, and I don't vote for anybody under the age of 50.
Ah.
That's my personal thing. I think that should be a rule that they should have. But clearly the reason they like to have like an Ernie Els go in this year because they think it gives them some gate appeal, you know, to have somebody who's still relatively active or still active to be there and at the induction ceremony. I'm always looking out for the older guys and making sure that they get in. But it's my personal policy not to vote for anybody under 50.
Okay. All right. And you want more people to show up for the event. Yoga.
Oh, that's the problem. Yep.
Please show up. We've got this great event happening. It's called the Hall of Fame, World Golf Hall of Fame. Could the young players who are actually still playing please arrive? It was moved to the players at Sawgrass so that they'd be there, but apparently they didn't show up. Let's hope they do in the future. Next. All right. The question I thought was very funny when you commented, and that's why I like Twitter so much. We're at the Crowne Plaza Invitational at Colonial. And Rory Sabatini shot a 68 and a 64. He's doing very well, made the cut. And I think you said something to the effect on Twitter, the volunteers must be very unhappy. Yes, you are very funny.
Yeah.
Is he really that bad of a person?
Well, the backstory here is at the Northern Trust Open at Riviera in Los Angeles earlier this year, he verbally went off on a 16-year-old volunteer, a shot link volunteer out there, and he found his ball was embedded, and he essentially accused the volunteer of having stepped on his golf ball. But anyway, his no matter what happened, the way he handled it was not very good. So our understanding is that that he got a reprimand from the tour about that. He then later, at the transition tournament in Tampa, had a verbal go-around with Sean O'Hare, a player, in which apparently Sean O'Hare said, being paired with you is like having a two-stroke penalty before the round starts. So that didn't get things going off on a good foot, but again, talking about openness of information, the PGA Tour does not inform us of fines or suspensions or any disciplinary action taken against players. There were rumors that he's going to be suspended. The scenario that I've heard is that he's a past champ at both this tournament, Colonial, and next week at the Byron Nelson. He lives in this area. You get 14 days to appeal a suspension. The thinking is they suspended him after the Players. He's appealing it, which will take him through this week and next week, and then he'll serve a suspension. You know, we won't know. The only way we'll know is if he doesn't play a few tournaments in there.
So in the European Tour, they announce all of that. And O'Grady...
They announce not all, but more than they do here. When Tiger Woods was fined for spitting on the green in Dubai, they went public with that and announced it because they knew how offensive it was within Middle Eastern culture to do that.
Okay. All right. I know you are at one of your favorite places. Why is the Colonial so important to you?
Well, it's a bunch of things. One is I'm a Hogan guy, and I never saw the guy play, but everything that I've read about him, he's a truly remarkable man, and this is a place where he won five times. He won the first Colonial in 1946. His last PGA Tour victory, his last victory anywhere, was here in 1959. I also was here in 2003 when Annika Sörenstam played in her one and only men's event. And that Thursday of her first round here was one of the most single exciting days I've ever spent on a golf course. And, and it was because of Annika playing here that I got to know Pia Nielsen and Lynn Marriott and ended up writing three books with them because of their work with Annika. So this place intersected with my life in many ways.
Okay.
It's just a great old golf course.
It's a great old golf course, and that's what a lot of the players say. It's a beautiful course. And it looks gorgeous on television. And right now we have David Toms, who inexplicably, he said, I have no excuse for that putt. He lost the first playoff, a sudden death, to KJ Choi. KJ Choi, a wonderful winner. But David Toms leading the entire tournament at TPC Sawgrass. And now he shot 262s back to back. He said he wasn't going to think about why he's playing well. Isn't that like what Pio would say and Lynn?
Absolutely. He's done a brilliant job of, one of the things Pio and Lynn say is you got to distinguish between what you control and what you can't control. And don't worry about what you can't control. And he knows he can't do anything about that missed putt at the Players. He can't do anything about the ball he hit into the water on the 16th hole at the Players. That's in the past, and he's just got to go on and do what's next, and he's doing that brilliantly here this week. It's going to be fascinating to see how he performs on the weekend. I'm going to walk with him when he tees off today because sometimes it's not easy to play with a 7-stroke lead. You start to get those thoughts in your head of like, boy, I'll look like a jerk if I blow a 7-stroke lead. And so it's going to be interesting to see how he manages his game today.
Interesting. Okay, I hadn't thought about that. I'll look like a jerk if I blow it, but that's exactly how I would feel. When does he tee off? At 1
something? He's up at 1:06 our time here.
In just a few minutes for you.
About a half an hour or something like that, yeah.
So. Yeah. Ben Hogan, what about him? You know, you said you never saw him play. Was it his struggle to recover from the auto accident and then successfully playing again? What could have...
You look at 1946, 47, and 48, those 3 years combined, he won 30 tournaments. He comes out, wins two tournaments early in 49, then he has the car crash that almost kills him twice, first in the car crash and then later when he had blood clots. Toughs it out, comes back, somehow miraculously wins the 1950 U.S. Open. And here's what really gets me about Hogan is, besides his toughness, if you look at his record, Jack Nicklaus won 18 major championships, and Ben Hogan won 9. Now, here's the difference. Jack Nicklaus had 96 shots to win his 18 major championships. Ben Hogan had 16. He never played in four major championships in a year in his life. Jack played in four major championships something like 40 years in a row every year. After the car crash, Hogan was only playing in two majors a year, the Masters and the U.S. Open. He only went to one British Open, and he won it. He never played the PGA again because it was still match play then, and it was too many holes to walk for his battered legs. So his record was established in a much, much, much more limited framework than anybody ever. And I'll argue that 1953, as great of a year as Tiger Woods had in 2000, he won eight times in three majors. In 1953, Ben Hogan played six tournaments. He won five of them.
Wow.
Three of them were major championships.
Wow.
And the sixth one he finished second in. So I would argue that even though he played only six times that year, that's the single greatest year in the history of golf.
Wow. That's amazing. You certainly put it in wonderful perspective. Thank you. Thank you for that. I need to take a break. Do you need to leave?
No, I can stay with you as long as you need.
Okay, we'll be back right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker, talking with Ron Cyrak. We'll be back after this. My name is, this is the Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
Star Protection Agency, providing security across Hawaii since 1991. Licensed and bonded. Property guard and patrol services. Loss prevention. Star Protection provides the security you need with the industry-leading internet-based reporting system. One call does it all. 532-3911 or on the web at starprotectionagency.com. Star Protection, locally owned with people you trust.
Need a good plumber 24/7? Alakai Mechanical has the best, from design to installation to maintenance. If you need more than a quick fix, get it repaired by the team at Alakai Mechanical. Whether you're in a home, restaurant, office building, or shopping center, your plumbing has to work. Alakai's world-class plumbing technicians use quality parts to keep your water and sewer lines working properly. Protect your investment. Licensed and insured. Call Alakai Mechanical across Hawaii. Your plumbers on call.
Off a tree, hit a rock, and bounce next to the pin. That's my kind of golf. Now, back to Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club.
Oh, let's give away a dozen Nike Power Distance golf balls to the 18th caller. All you have to do is dial 808-296-5467. Say it slower. All right, 808-296-5467. Really easy number. I don't care where you're calling from. If you're the 18th caller, you win them, and I'll send them to you, and they'll come to you FedEx or something fast, okay? I'll make sure I get those to the post office for you right away. We've got a couple of events going on, U.S. Amateur Public Links and U.S. Women's Amateur Public Links, all at Poipu. We've got two rounds of golf at Poipu to give away as well today. Now, remember, when you're playing in these qualifiers, your clubs have to be conforming. And one young man discovered just what happens if you don't pay attention to the voice inside your head and you listen to somebody else's advice. He was disqualified because he took one club out of his bag. So he was playing with 13 clubs. But one of them was a non-conforming club. The grooves were wrong. He said, and I thought this was great, Taylor Fontaine took absolute responsibility, but he was upset that people were looking inside his bag. And then he added, if that guy didn't say anything, there really would be no way of them finding out. With the rules changing in golf, Ron, is it becoming more and more difficult to police? Or since we're all policing ourselves? Yes.
Well, first off, I'm going to defend the guy who turned him in, because it's part of the spirit of the game is that you're supposed to protect the rest of the field. It's like if you're playing with somebody and you see that they take a bad drop, well, you're supposed to bring that to the attention of the rules officials because it protects all the other players who aren't on that hole. You know, your job is to police the tournament for everybody else in the field. So I think the guy who turned him in was doing exactly what he was supposed to be doing. There are some people who think
that on the issue of conforming clubs, that there should be officials on the first tee who look in everybody's bag and spot non-conforming clubs before they go out. I'm not sure I agree with that, because I do think ultimately it's the player's responsibility. And this kid ultimately admitted that he knew, that he suspected it was a non-conforming club, but he let a friend talk him into playing it. Well, yeah. You know, my bottom line is, you know, when in doubt, leave it out, you know. He shouldn't have played with it.
Fair warning. All right. Excellent. Very good. I mean, it's really important that everyone, as we grow the game of golf, the question a lot of people ask, are we watering it down to make it easier for some people to play so that we attract more people into the game? And it's important that we instill in everyone who comes into the game that this is a game of honor. And you call yourself. I know you played with somebody who's a judge, he's a lawyer, you're amazed. The guy cheats, the girl cheats, whatever. That's their world. But for the most, it's a game of honor. And we see it in Padraig Harrington. Paddy Harrington has now injured his knee, too. It's interesting to see, you know, as the guys get older, how much, how much torque is put on their body, how much stress is put on their body.
I'll tell you another interesting thing, and when I was working on the Tiger Woods story, a doctor pointed this out to me, and I had never considered it. He said, have you noticed that as more golfers work out like regular athletes from other sports, more golfers are having injuries like regular athletes in other sports, because those injuries have to do with the fact that working out is stress on the body, and it wears the body down. And I started to think about that, and he's absolutely right, that we're seeing more of these kinds of injuries now than we used to, and it could very well be that the whole workout process is added wear and tear in the body. It's certainly added wear and tear in the body.
Somebody said that Tiger Woods' upper body is way too big for his legs, that his legs can't stand it anymore, and he's got too much weight on top. So it's an interesting question. A lot of people, hey, I'm not going to go work out. It's not good for my game. We've got great events going on, and the European Tour, Kamer and Donald will be playing in match play, and Coulthard's and Poulter. Poulter came back. Francisco Molinari was two up. Poulter comes back. Did you see that on Golf Channel?
Yes, I did. Yeah.
Pretty amazing. Really amazing. And now for the LPGA Tour, watching Michelle Wee, hoping that she makes it. You know, she's been playing beautifully, but right now Sophie Gustafsson, I believe, is one up. So it'll be interesting to see how this plays out. Suzanne Paterson, all square. Go ahead.
Sophie's one of the few players out there who can hit it as far, if not farther, than Michelle. And Sophie's always played well when she's played with Michelle. She was paired with her in the last two rounds of the Women's British Open one year at Royal Birkdale and shot like 68 on the weekend. She gets motivated by Michelle because she thinks that Sophie feels that she's overlooked as actually being a longer hitter than Michelle. So,
Well, that's good. I mean, it's good for the game to have that kind of competition going on. Would it be better for the LPGA if Michelle Wee won and continued on up to the match play?
It would be better for the LPGA if Michelle Wee won every tournament she ever played. I mean, you know that they. You know, they need a star. They particularly need an American star. You know, they need somebody to really get some attention focused back on that tour. You know, one of my tweets yesterday was I tweeted, "Just the LPGA's luck. They finally have a tournament, and the world's going to end today." So, you know, that's the way the year's gone for them. They've only had, I think this is the fifth domestic tournament they've played this year. That's it.
Yeah, but they're playing so great, and the course they're playing on is awesome, and I want it to be on Golf Channel all the time. I want them to, I hope, Dick Ebersol, he resigned from NBC. I can't imagine what he's going to do. Some people said, well, maybe he's going to go to ESPN. What do you think he's going to do? He created Saturday Night Live.
It's going to be hard for me. I think he's going to work for himself. Hard for me to see that he would go to an ESPN and have people over him. What's going to be fascinating to see now is Ebersol brought to NBC the big event strategy of programming. He wanted the big events. He wants the Olympics. And when you look at golf, he wants the U.S. Open, which NBC has. He wants the Ryder Cup, which NBC has. They have the Players' Championship. And he's always gone for the top-tier events. And what's going to be interesting now is, of course, his company, NBC Universal, was purchased by Comcast, which owns the Golf Channel, at the beginning of this year. And it's going to be interesting to see, with Ebersol gone, will the Comcast people continue to spend as much money as NBC always did to get the A-list events?
Yes. Okay. We want to congratulate John Rhodes of Hilo. I knew Hilo was going to win today. You have won the Nike Power Distance Golf Balls. Congratulations. Ron Syrak, thank you so much for being on the show. It's always a pleasure to talk to you.
Danielle, my pleasure. Anytime.
Aloha. We'll be back right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
Hoipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore has reopened to rave reviews. Come play our newly renovated greens. Bring the family. Invite some friends. When you stand on that tee box and see that view, you'll know why Poipu Bay makes any day special. Come join the Aloha. Visit our pro shop and take home a memory at Poipu Bay, where golf is played. Call 808-742-8711. Your tee time is waiting. Moon Physical Therapy is here to help you back to recovery. Moon Physical Therapy is located on Ward Avenue across from Sports Authority. Physician prescribed for motor vehicle accidents, workman's comp, or that body pain that comes from rushing to play without warming up. Also event cardiopulmonary rehabilitation with our one-on-one patient care. Moon's Aquatherapy heated endless pool allows for low impact exercise with less pain on land. We will give you the right exercises to get you back to health. Ask your doctor to prescribe Moon Physical Therapy. Moon Physical Therapy. We achieve results.
Star Protection Agency has been providing security across Hawaii since 1991. Guards on foot, bike, and patrol cars for your business, buildings, or retail. Whether it's a store or an entire shopping center, Star Protection provides the security you need. One call does it all. 532-3911 or on the web at starprotectionagency.com. Star Protection is peace of mind.
A mongoose stole my ball. What's the rule on that?
Let's get back into the clubhouse with Danielle Tucker.
All right. And I want everybody from around the islands to call Alakai Mechanical and say happy anniversary. And thank you so much for giving away a dozen... What's beeping over here? A dozen Nike Power Distance golf balls. Thank you so much, Hilo, for listening and for winning and for calling, and it'll happen for you next week. Now, you know, you can only win the golf balls once every 6 months. So that's just, you know, I'm going to have to say that again, over and over again. I want to congratulate a young lady. She was on the show last weekend when we were at the Jenny Kay, the premier women's event in Hawaii. It was won by 17-year-old Eri Joma from Japan. She came with her entire family. She is the first international to win the event in its 66-year history. She shot rounds of 72, 76, 76. It's a long and a very fast course, the Mid-Pacific Country Club. The greens are really fast. Superintendent Jason Amoy likes to keep them at 12 on the stimp meter at least for competition. Hawaii's Allison Korpuz and Hisu Kondri finished second and third, just one and two shots back. Congratulations to the entire field. You are awesome. Thank you all for getting into all of the USGA qualifiers. Mary B. Porter King is extremely happy, and we've got the Poipu Bay Golf Course hosting the U.S. Women's Open Sectional. It's on Sunday the 22nd. Okay, that's tomorrow, and spectators are welcome. Great golf on a beautiful golf course. Poipu Bay, yeah, you need to play it, okay? We've got two rounds we're giving away. It's just beautiful. Spectators are welcome. Admission's free. The top player advances to the U.S. Women's Open Championship at Broadmoor in Colorado Springs. if she, you know, all she has to do is win this sectional. This isn't the local qualifier. The guys, well, I'll announce their names a little later in the show. But the girls, okay, all of these girls went through Mary B. Porter King, started the Hawaii State Junior Golf Association. Kelly Oride, Sierra Min, Alina Ching, Nani Yanagi, Allison Corpuz, Margaret Min, Brittany Fan, Alice Kim, Casey Komodo, Sid Okino, Marielle Galdiano. You know, you've known them since you were six. They were six. And seeing them blossom and be beautiful young women and now competing is just amazing. Just amazing. We're talking to Tom Bertrand. He is the author of The Secret of Hogan's Swing. Mr. Bertrand, welcome to the golf club.
Hi, Danielle. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. Now, I got to tell you, okay, I'm just a little, and I'm not surprised, but I'm just a little disappointed because I went through the book, and I didn't find The Secret.
You didn't find The Secret.
No, I didn't. I didn't find. I was looking for The Secret. The Secret. What's The Secret? Okay, now I got to be perfectly frank with you. I don't believe anybody that tells me there's a secret to anything, because it's everybody has their own swing, to a degree, right?
To a degree, yes. If you use the fundamentals and principles of a proper golf swing, everybody's going to look different. That's the whole thing. It's too many people try to copy what they see, and you can't do that because too many people have different body types.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the secret, what I explained in the book, is there's a couple of things that Hogan really kind of studied, and he studied what arms do, and he studied what the core of the body does. And too many people don't understand that the arms are that connection from the core to your golf club. And you have to pay specific attention to what they do on the backswing and on the downswing. And too many people don't understand that left elbow has to turn toward the left hip. If it doesn't, you get that chicken wing effect. And most of the time when people come down through the hitting area, they sideswipe the ball because of that chicken wing effect. And predominantly, many, many of the high handicap golfers end up fading, cutting, actually slicing the ball, whether it's off the tee or off the ground.
Hurting people. Watch out! Okay, so it's the arms. And when you look at Hogan's arms, like the statue at Colonial, you can really see how he ended his swing. It's quite amazing, actually.
Yeah, and there's a combination of things that he did that I consider, you know, what that was passed on to me from touring pro John Shui, who actually was the winner of the Hawaiian Open. That was his only tour win.
John,
but he was big over there. He started his golf school over there and then came over here to Carlsbad, California. But it's one of those things that there's, with the combination, it takes a lot of heat off the hands, what they do in the swing. So it's just, what John told me was handed down to from Hogan to him, was just make sure that you use those arms properly.
Okay, and that's what I wanted to, first of all, just get you on The Secret, because I wanted you to tell us The Secret right away.
There's so many secrets out there.
Yes, there's so many secrets. And when I look at this, when I'm reading, frankly, okay, I have to warn people that The Secret of Hogan's Swing book is something for someone who is very detail-oriented, is not a feel player. Because
right.
I get, start reading, it's kind of like doing math, you know? I start reading, I'm like in looking at the math equation and my brain, my eyes, you know, dyslexia, just ping, brain turns off, goes into some other mode, eyes go glazed over, and I'm like, huh? And
it's kind of for Hogan geeks and, you know, and for people that are, like you say, very detail-oriented. But it's not to the point where, you know, it's like a pro paralysis by analysis.
No.
Because if you just take the proper fundamentals and principles, you can go from there.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. And what is also great about this is that you do, I love the storytelling.
Yeah, exactly. I didn't want to do another golf instruction book that people would put people to sleep by the time they get to the 10th page.
Yes.
So I figured, you know, let me tell the story about how Hogan and John met, then let me tell the story how I and John got together and tell all the stories in between and then go from there.
And I think you get one of the beauties of golf is the stories of golf and how golf courses connect people to events, to things. Ron Syrak talking about what the colonial meant to him. I mean, at one point this week, I think Annika Sorenstam said watching on television the colonial just took her back to the greatest moment in her career when she played, you know? And I think he sent a tweet that it was his too, that for his career in following golf and writing about golf, that watching her that day when she teed off for the first time with the men and so nervous at that moment that she couldn't even talk to Pia. She couldn't, you know, she couldn't form words. You know, she was that nervous, but she did it, you know, because she just came out of the think box, went into the play box, and she just did it. You know, and the mental game is so critical, and I think that's, you know, something that the secret of Ben Hogan is his mental determination. He created practice. He's the guy who, and he said he loved practicing.
Right.
Right?
And the part about him practicing that many people don't understand is he would like to go off and practice by himself quite a bit, mainly to help him focus. And you have to practice focus in order to do it on the practice tee and on the golf course. And one of the things that John told me was that what Hogan did was that self-talk. When he would get up to the ball, he'd start talking to himself. And by talking to yourself, you start eliminating those outside things. And the better he got at that off by himself, the easier it was for him to go on a golf course in a tournament and turn off the people around him. You know, you hear so many stories about, you know, he walked right past me and didn't even know who I was, and here I am, you know, Valerie, his wife. And and that's what happened. And he would get in such that mode because he practiced that mental focus so hard when he's off by himself and nobody was bugging him, that he got it was a science that when he got on the golf course, it was so much easier for him to just play that same way.
So we shouldn't maybe criticize Tiger Woods for not seeing people when he walks by, because maybe he's doing that thing?
It might be.
Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah.
I was thinking, you criticize somebody. If you haven't walked in their shoes, then, excuse me, you have no business. There's something in The Secret of Hogan's Swing. We're talking with Tom Bertrand, the author, who actually got to talk to John Schley, who actually got to take a lesson, several, with Ben Hogan, and then taught under Ben Hogan. When you were talking about what Hogan did to block out a bad shot, I thought was just brilliant. It has
the wall?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Tell me about the wall.
Okay. It's an interesting concept. And when you really think about it, you think, man, that is so key. Well, Hogan was with John, and they played quite a bit, and they were actually together for about 5 years. Hogan was helping John with his swing. And he said, and they were out playing one time, and John hit a bad shot, and he was all down on himself and this and that. And Hogan said, "Now, John, listen to me and listen to me good." He said, "After you hit a bad shot, I want you to picture a wall as far to your right as you can see, as far to the left as you can see, from the ground all the way up to the sky. And it's behind you. And every time you hit a shot, the wall follows you as you're walking to your next shot. So you can't go back and do anything about that last shot. So don't worry about it. Don't just forget it and move on. And it kind of gives you that feeling that, okay, you know, yeah, I can't do anything about it. And that's why Hogan always said, the only control I have is over my next shot. What am I going to do? How am I going to do it? And from then on, you just go play.
I really am going to do a compilation of the 14 years I've been doing this show. There's tips like what you just did. Everybody keys in on something in a different way. You know, learning is for everyone a different experience, whether it's audio or visual or feel. And what you just did is you gave somebody an opportunity to incorporate a whole new way of looking at the bad last shot. Because that wall is going to knock it off.
It's like you can't go back, so just leave it alone. It's that visual that he wanted to give John. Just, you know, that's a picture. Just paint that picture and.
You talk about John Schley, okay? And here he is. A guy, and you talk about him in your book, who just walks up to you, just like, and you know, and goes, "Hey, you're doing this all wrong." Turns you into a pretzel. Tells you to now swing, now hit it. And you're like, oh, my God, I can't, this is weird. Now, he seems like a little bit overbearing. And why would, you know, Ben Hogan, a quiet person who doesn't talk, who doesn't like to teach, who, you know, could kill you with a look, why would he choose somebody like, you know, this gregarious Mr. Schleed to hook up with?
It's interesting you say that because, you know, John's the kind of person you either love him or you hated him, and that's truly the way he was. And he either loved you or he hated you too. So it was kind of a two-way street. So when he was with Hogan, he didn't put Hogan on a pedestal that everybody else did. You know, he just treated Hogan like he was just another guy, and Hogan liked that. But also, Hogan, after his accident, couldn't use his lower body the way he wanted to, and John had extremely good lower body motion, and he really liked it, and he thought that if he could help John develop that and that part of his in the upper body part of his swing with the lower body, that he could be something pretty special. Especially, you know, John had that interest, had that drive, that will to get better. So Hogan noticed that, and John never treated him any differently than he would treat, you know, anybody else.
So key, so important. Did he ever talk about losing the ability to putt?
You know, not really, because John was such a good putter, so he never really talked about that so much. But I think it was another physical ailment, mainly with his, I think it was his left eye, because of the accident. You know, it was hard for him to focus, and so he knew he was, at that point, you know, falling apart, so.
God, amazing, amazing story. The Secret of Hogan's Swing, Tom Bertrand, and Printer Bowler was your ghostwriter, your collaborator?
And that was interesting in itself as well, because you talk about a ghostwriter. I didn't even meet Printer until after the book was published. That's a ghostwriter for you. He lived in Colorado. I lived in California. I had this story to tell. I had all this information in me, and I took me 15 years to write the book, and I started searching for people you know, on the internet to help me, you know, go that next step. And I contacted Bob Cullen. I contacted Mr. Sampson, Kurt Sampson, and I contacted all these writers, and they said, well, you know, if you don't have a publisher yet or an agent yet, you know, there's nothing I can do to help you. Except Printer did. Printer said, you know, he has an agent, and he had a couple books published, but he kind of liked the story and went with it. And so it's just, you know, he was up in, like I said, Montana. I'm sorry. Colorado. He's up in Montana, and
one of those big, lovely states out there. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Missoula, Montana.
Yeah, Missoula. Okay, my girlfriend comes from Missoula. Yeah.
Oh, well.
Tom Bertrand, Thank you so much for being on the show. It's a great book, and you also have a golf school. What is the name of it?
I do golf seminars and things down here in over here in California.
Uh-huh.
And I've got a website called thesecretofhopeandswing.com. So if anybody's interested in finding out some more information about what I do and you know, what I can and have available as far as materials.
What you can teach.
To help.
Excellent. We'll talk again. It's nice meeting you.
Anytime. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Aloha. We'll be back after this.
Aloha.
My name is Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
Your AC runs year-round in Hawaii. Whether you're in office, store, building, or shopping center, your AC on the fritz can ruin your day and stop your business. Alakai Mechanical does it all. From AC sales to maintaining your AC, so it runs better and lasts longer. Alakai world-class professionals are using only the best parts to keep you cool. Protect your investment. From window systems to cooling towers across Hawaii. Call Alakai Mechanical. Keeping you cool.
Waipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore. Come share our home where the Grand Slam was played. Robert Trent Jones Jr. saw the mountains and felt the sea. Sure, great vistas and greens most people only dream of. Take the day off or do business with a bunch of your best customers. Come join the fun and the aloha at Waipu Bay. Call us for your tee time, where great golf is played every day at Waipu Bay.
Off a tree, hit a rock, and bounce next to the pin. That's my kind of golf. Now, back to Danielle Tucker on The Golf Club.
And welcome back to the clubhouse. It is so good to be here. What's the weather going to be like? You know, I have the shortest weather forecast. It's going to be partly sunny, which means it'll be sunny more than it is cloudy. Very strange the way the National Weather Service says that. Do you know that? Mostly sunny means that there's going to be clouds mostly, but never mind. The winds are trade winds. Ha! The air conditioning's on, 15 to 25 miles per hour for at least a week. And then, of course, we'll probably get southerly winds and fog. But for the time being, get to the beach, get to the golf course. Go out and play some wonderful golf. I mean, we have the most beautiful golf courses. And they're golfer friendly. Yeah, I know you're saying it. You're over at King Kamehameha going, yeah, what? I'm in the middle of the jungle. I can hardly see where I'm going. That's the beautiful, that's Luana Hills. It's now called Royal Hawaiian, okay? And right now, the Tachibana Group and the Kea Group and the Chili Dippers, that's kind of like where I would belong, but I'm sure you're all much better than your name implies. Okay. May you all hit the sweet spot every time. But if you'd like to play at the Royal Hawaiian Country Club, Luana Hills, 10:10, 11 o'clock, and 12 o'clock, those are openings. Makena, the Maui Masters, and the Classic Hawaii Group are going out, but you could play at 9:44 and 10:40. And Apuakea, it's the Joel Miyashiro outing. And over at Makalei, we have Kalepa Hui going out. And you could play at 9:32 or 10:04 and 11:04. Makalei is a really unusual course in Hawaii because it's way up in the mountains. It doesn't have the ocean course. Where we are going now, Johnny Eusebio, the head professional at Mauna Kea and Hapuna. Hapuna goes up in the mountains. Boy, you better have legs for that one, right? Good morning.
How you doing, Danielle?
I'm doing good. Good. It's so good. You have so much. I kept getting these alerts in my email box. And you always put the little, important, highest importance. So I'm going, oh, my goodness, what's happening? Golf Digest ranked Mauna Kea on the Big Island, number 27 in the 2012 listing. America's 100 greatest public golf courses. It is just magnificent. And it's interesting to have both of those courses, one on the ocean and one on the mountains. Which would you suggest to somebody who's, let's say, a 20 handicap?
You know, for both courses, really. I mean, Mauna Kea, first of all, is such an iconic property. So, I mean, if anybody's going to come to the Big Island, they definitely have to play that with just the history and everything about the golf course. I mean, there's so many different tees you can play from. You know, it does have a reputation being a challenging course. But if you play the right tees, it's a memorable experience. Hapuna is a great course as well. I mean, every location that you're at, whether on the tee, on the green, on the fairway, you turn around, you see the ocean. And if you know, of course, you play the right tees in that course, it is great. So any skill level for either course, but definitely I believe if anybody comes down to play, definitely play Mauna Kea. And if you do have time, definitely play Hapuna, because they're two totally different tracks, and it'll be a great experience for whoever comes out there.
How high up do you go above the ocean at Hapuna? How high?
700 feet.
700 feet. You see, views, the vistas are amazing. I mean,
it is great.
It is beautiful. And Mauna Kea, of course, is one of the, I think there's one on Maui. How many did Robert Trent Jones, Sr., how many courses, thank you for the note, how many courses did he design in Hawaii?
You know, I'm really not sure. I believe about just maybe about three.
Right. I can't remember the third. It's not that important. But Mauna Kea also has Kama'aina Month and Hapuna. Tell us about that.
Well, it's basically we're reaching out to our Kama'aina and thanking them for their business. For the month of May, we're offering discounted rounds at Mauna Kea for $125, or you could play Hapuna for $35. So it's a great deal for you know the Kama'aina to come out and play and experience our courses.
How much? So you have a special package for?
Yes, actually, we're going to start unveiling this soon. This probably be the first time anybody would hear about it right now. But starting in June and July, we're going to have for Hapuna. It's called Hapuna 5.0.
Excellent.
And basically, it's a multi-play package for the Kama'aina. It's $199 for five rounds of golf. Once you purchase, you have 60 days basically to play those five rounds. But that's a lot of time. And so, I mean, it basically comes down to $40 a round for a round of golf. So it's a great thing for our locals who do come out and play a lot of golf to get that multiple play package for that course.
Yes, okay, so that's the Hapuna 5.0 promotion.
Yes.
That starts in June.
June.
You need to have your Hawaii driver's license or a Hawaii state ID, and it's great for those five rounds. It's $199 plus tax. You play those in 60 days. Now, you will use a golf cart at Hapuna, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So it's not like you have to walk up all the time. But why do people... Don't laugh. But people always say, you know, you really have to have strong legs to play Hapuna.
Yeah, I mean, with all the elevation changes, I mean, you can walk the course if you want a good exercise, but I don't think you'll be doing anything after you're done playing around a golf out there. But you know, it's definitely a course that goes up in the hills and winds around, so there's a lot of space between the holes. The good thing about that course, you know, not only the views, is that pretty much each and every hole you're by yourself. You're not next aside to another hole and see another player. You have that one hole just to yourself, and you have those great views to see.
And that's an Arnold Palmer course.
It's an Arnold Palmer Ed Say design.
Yeah. Okay. Now, I want to talk about Lawrence Rockefeller. Okay. Just for a second. Oh, but before I do that, let me just say, KPUA Hilo, KGU Honolulu, KHUI Honolulu, KONI Lanai City, KTOH Kalaheo, KTOH FM 1 Princeville. That was for the FCC. If you'd like to listen on the internet, it's radiogolfclub.com. All of the shows are archived. It's streaming live now, but if you missed it, you can listen from the beginning at radiogolfclub.com. It's also available podcast at iTunes, or if for your smartphone, there's an app that's called Stitcher Radio, and it doesn't take up any memory. It's not like it downloads the show to your phone and clogs you up. It streams right through it. It's really neat. It's a very cool app. Okay, now, Lawrence Rockefeller, if you've ever been right to the Kohala Coast, it's a pretty barren place, you know? I mean, imagine lava fields and some tall pili-pili grass, you know? It's just, it doesn't, you don't think green lawns when you see the koalas. And now this guy, Lawrence Rockefeller, you know, yeah, the Rockefeller guy, he goes over to the Big Island and, you know, he looks and he says, I see a golf course. And the people with him are like, hey, what are you, crazy? But because there's no water, are there rivers running along the Kohala coast?
No, there's not.
No, there's not.
Underground, probably.
Mate, yeah.
But, you know, but as far as visuals, no.
No, it's not like he saw an abundance of water. Is there dirt?
There is dirt, but more lava than anything else.
Right, right. Okay, so it's just an amazing story that man saw at Mauna Kea, you know, a golf course, and then convinced somebody to come along and build it. it's just beautiful. But there, apparently his geologist knew of the aquifer, that, you know, we all have aquifers. That's how we get our drinking water. It's right underneath our little islands, and it's an interesting combination between salt water and fresh water being lighter than salt water. The the bubble on top of the salt water is our fresh water. So we have to keep the combination very, very careful. That's why they're always, you know, conserve water. So the geologists knew there was water. Where they got the dirt from, did they truck it in?
Well, you know, it's an interesting story. Basically, you know, Mr. Rockefeller is a great visionary. And when he came out here, he brought Robert Trent Jones Sr. out there to see the property. And basically, you know, like you said, it's all lava, just the ocean and everything. And, you know, Robert Trent Jones looked at it and basically picked up two pieces of lava and crumbled them together just to see if basically the ground can be broken to make a golf course. And he put the two pieces of lava and crumbled it together, and it actually broke apart. And he went to Rockefeller and he says, you know, if you allow me to build a course out here, it'd be the most beautiful course in the world.
Wow!
Then that's how it was created. So it's a great story, and it's a great, you know, this course has so much history to it, and it's amazing how a course like this, a piece of property like this, is built on lava.
Yes. It is. It truly is. And by the way, if your ball ends up in the lava, you know, when you're playing, it's dead, okay?
It is dead, pretty much.
You know, you can go get it. I don't recommend that you do, because if you fall, you will really cut yourself. But you can go get it, but it will not be a pretty picture after that. It will be definitely damaged, and you will have to start new. Now, does that count against you as having to start play? I mean, you know?
Yeah, we basically treat it as a lateral hazard. But I remember talking to some local guys here and everything. If you do hit a tee shot or any shot and it starts to go into the lava, you just yell praise Moki, and then the ball, hopefully the ball jumps out. And it's funny when I mentioned that at a tournament that we held one time, you know, just say praise Moki, and you start hearing people yell it all over the place. So it's funny when you see it. You know, I'm not guaranteeing the ball comes out all the time, but give it a shot.
Anything, right? Anything will.
Anything.
Right. By the way, Lawrence Rockefeller played until he was 95 years old. So
this is
wonderful. So we have at Mauna Kea and Hapuna, the Kama'aina Appreciation Month. That goes through the 31st. And we have, in addition to the 5-0 at Hapuna, there's a couple of things happening. You've got the 5th annual Tommy Bahama Big Island Classic.
Yes, at Mauna Kea on June 13th, it's going to be the 5th annual Tommy Bahama Classic. It's going to benefit the North Hawaii Hospice. Great scramble event here at Mauna Kea. It's going to be our second year hosting it. You know, spots are filling up fast. It'll definitely be something to take part. So it's going to be a great event.
So you not only are looking for people who'd like to play, but who would also like to support the event?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Any donations, if anybody's interested in contributing and donating to North Hawaii Hospice, pretty much just call Brenda at 808-881-8686 or contact Tommy Bahama at the Monolani, and they'll be able to get you the right information.
Great, great, great. So, and then we've got the junior program. You're a busy man.
We are busy. We're as busy as can be. pretty much we're offering a junior program for our golfers out here. It basically gives them a membership to be a member of the program here at Hapuna or at Mauna Kea with $150 membership fee. Gives them discounted rounds for golf, and basically those discounts will last up until December 18. So it's a good opportunity for a lot of the juniors who don't have a chance to come out here and play our course or play Hapuna, to come out here and play it at a reduced price.
Excellent. Are you teaching? Do you have any teaching programs for the summer?
You know, I'm not for the junior program.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're kind of waiting to see how many do enter. The more that we enter, the more opportunities we'll have for the juniors. But we're definitely interested in putting out some clinics here and there. And since it is our first year, we're just kind of trying to feel things out. Next year, definitely, we'll get into a really kind of an instruction program. That's the main goal that we're working on.
Okay, this is the Mauna Kea Junior Golf Program, and it's for juniors. It's $150, June 1st through December 18th. You'll get discounted green fees at Hapuna Golf Course and Mauna Kea. And what you're trying to see is how many juniors are interested, 20% off on merchandise at both Mauna Kea and Hapuna. You'll get a junior golf hat, Mauna Kea engraved metal plumeria bag tag, the complimentary use of the practice facility at Hapuna, and discounted rates on private instruction with the PGA professionals. So, and then there are opportunities to attend the free golf clinics.
Yes.
Johnny Eusebio, thank you so much.
Well, thank you. It's great talking to you.
It's great talking to you, and we'll do it again soon.
Definitely.
It's good to see you at Mauna Kea and Hapuna. Thanks so much for being on the show. We have a special gift for the people who are listening still. It's coming up right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the green with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
Moon Physical Therapy is here to help you back to recovery. Moon Physical Therapy is located on Ward Avenue across from Sports Authority. Physician prescribed for motor vehicle accidents, workman's comp, or that body pain that comes from rushing to play without warming up. Also event cardiopulmonary rehabilitation with our one-on-one patient care. Moon's Aquatherapy heated endless pool allows for low-impact exercise with less pain on land. We will give you the right exercises to get you back to health. Ask your doctor to prescribe Moon Physical Therapy. Moon Physical Therapy. We achieve results.
Star Protection Agency, providing security across Hawaii since 1991. Licensed and bonded. Property, guard, and patrol services. Loss prevention. Star Protection provides the security you need with the industry-leading internet-based reporting system. One call does it all. 532-3911 or on the web at starprotectionagency.com. Star Protection, locally owned with people you trust.
Yeah, a mongoose stole my ball. What's the rule on that?
Let's get back into the clubhouse with Danielle Tucker.
And welcome back. We have two rounds of golf for the 18th caller at Poipu Bay Golf Course. It is absolutely spectacular, okay? You will love playing at Poipu Bay. I promise. Seriously. All right, here we go. The number is 808-296-5467, and that is the number to call. 808-296-5467. If you are the 18th caller, you win. All right. Congratulations to our U.S. Open qualifier winners. First of all, at Kauai Lagoons, Ben Fox of California came over conquered. Hawaii guys going to the sectional qualifier on the mainland are, from Maui, Captain Kirk Nelson and Kyle Hayashi, both played at King Kamehameha. From the Big Island, Eric Dugas shot a 70 at Waikoloa King's course, and on Oahu, Sky Inakoshi shot a 72 at Hawakalei, designed by Ernie Els. Guy, I've been following you since you were 6 years old and you joined the Hawaii State Junior Golf Association. I always thought, that's a cool name. And I'm so excited for you to be going to the sectional. That's awesome. Excellent job. The National Veterans Golden Age Golf Event is on the 27th. They kind of waited a long time to get in touch with me, but I want to help. They're going to be playing at Mamala Bay Golf Course. They have 144 senior veterans in the golf event on May 27th. That's like Friday coming up, right? We need 80 volunteers, they say, in this for this event. It starts at 11 in the morning, goes to 6 o'clock in the evening. And I got this note from Shelley. Shelley says, I'm hoping you will put a shout-out on your radio show, if at all possible. Anyone who's interested, please call me at 586-6191. 586-6191. Are you confused yet? This is for being a volunteer for the National Veterans Golden Age Golf Event. 144 senior veterans will be playing Friday, and they need volunteers. They need 80 volunteers. That's almost one per guy. Okay, so if you have the time, give them a call at 585-6191. Great. All right. I met an interesting young man, and I immediately gravitated to his story because this young man lives in Humboldt County, and apparently they have some problems in Humboldt County, and only one big employer, and that would be Casino Life. I'd like to introduce you to a young man born in Laos. His family came to America, and now he's growing up in the States, the American dream. Der Zhang, welcome to the golf club.
Thank you, Daniel.
It's really good having you on the show. Your parents really told you that the American dream was possible while you were growing up the entire time?
Coming here, you know, they told us to just, you know, keep our heads in our books and just keep on doing the right stuff. Don't stray off the path and you'll achieve everything you dream of.
So, They pretty much came to the States for that purpose, to make it possible for you to achieve anything you wanted to achieve?
Yeah, we came to the United States because after the Vietnam War, the Americans, they said, you know, if you helped us fight the Vietnam War, we'd let you guys come to America, you know, come and have a better life. So that's what my parents did. They brought us here.
Right. I understand completely. Now, so they came and you went to school, you completely adopted the U.S. dream, you know, of, and for immigrants it's even a larger one, the idea that you can make of yourself whatever you want to. You can achieve it. When you got out of school, what was your dream?
My dream was, you know, like everybody else, to have a wife, two kids, house, cars, even a dog, and I had all that, you know.
What about a job? What kind of a job did you want? What kind of a career?
I originally wanted to be a veterinarian, but, you know, as school went on, things changed. I wanted to be a ranger. Went to Humboldt State University to do that, but life change, you know, things come and go.
Right, right. And so now you're a dealer at the Bear River Indian Casino.
Yes, I am.
And you've been working hard, and you've created in the process something called Grasp Clothing. Now I'm wearing your yoga pants, and I'm wearing your T-shirt, and I love the quality of this fabric. I love the way it fits. I have been searching for the V-neck T-shirt, which is very difficult to find in stores. And it is really nice clothing.
I mean, yeah,
it's
thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Now, why did you decide to, I mean, you've got a job.
Uh-huh.
What inspired you to make your clothing line?
Well, like I was saying, you know, we're all trying to achieve the American dream. You know, I had the American dream since I ran into my divorce, you know, just months, maybe like 2 months after me and my ex-wife decided to get divorced, we found out my son had cancer. You know, he was diagnosed with cancer. And a couple months after that, you know, finances went downhill, and then I had to file for bankruptcy, and everything just kind of, you know, wasn't so great. But
yep.
I just pulled myself together and say, hey, you know, it's not the end of the world. You know, you can, if other people can do it, I can do it. So I decided, you know, just to do what I really wanted to do was to make a clothing brand that represents the individual instead of a company.
Hence, that's why you call it GRASP. G-R-A-S-P.
Yeah.
To grasp something. To grasp.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Now, what does GRASP mean?
GRASP, the acronym for GRASP is gradually reaching a successful persona.
Which is what we're all trying to do, right? We're all...
Yeah.
Taking one step at a time, regardless of what life throws at you, you're grasping for that becoming a successful persona. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing. Yes. Yeah.
And one thing I liked about it, you know, because like in every sport you see, you know, like golfers, you know. Now, it doesn't come overnight. You know, you can't be a successful golfer overnight. It takes years and years and years of practice. You gradually have to reach that skill level to the point where you are a professional.
Yes. And now, the clothing line that you created, GRASP is the name of it. Where can we get it?
You can find it at www.graspclothing.com.
It's a great website, by the way. I went there.
Thank you.
Who designed it?
Just a college friend of mine. Right now, we're kind of going under construction. We're debating about doing something different with the website.
Well, be careful now because you're just starting. You don't want to play too much. I was trying to find the pants and I couldn't. If you order from the website, remember the sizes run a little small. So order a little bit bigger than what you would, okay? If you order a medium in slacks, get the large, all right?
Yeah.
Yes?
All the clothes are 100% cotton, so it's quality over quantity. So
yes, it's 100% cotton, and it's pre-shrunk.
Yeah.
So it's awesome clothing. Really good. Really good job. Really good job. And, you know, I really... When you said you couldn't take sitting at a table anymore and watching people throw their money away,
uh-huh.
I really could understand that. That really took me, you know. Thank you. And I think your logo, the centipede, is most people go, a centipede? Oh my God! In Hawaii, I've been bitten by centipedes. You know, why would you want a centipede for a logo? But I like what you said. You know, it's tenacious.
Yeah.
Once it grabs hold of something, it doesn't let go, and it's always noticed, whether you hate them, whether you like them, whether you're afraid of them, whether they're there. Grasp.
Yep.
Okay? So grasp that dream, whatever it is, in golf, and know that you're going to have to work toward it. Durr, thanks so much for being on the show.
Thank you, Danielle.
Aloha. We'll talk again soon.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye. At the Sybase Match Play Championship... Well, here's our finals. I'm Miyazato, one over NB Park. Oh, maybe I shouldn't tell you because you're waiting for the TV delay so you can watch it. Oh, I'm torn between telling you the finals and not telling you the finals. You know, we have these two rounds of golf, and I gave away two tickets, two numbers. The number is 808-296-5467, 808-296-5467. All right? Give us a call, and if you're the 18th caller, you'll win. 296-5467. It's a very tough choice for me to say this. Very tough. But I'm going to go ahead and tell you that Michelle Wee did not beat Sophie Gustafson. And Sophie went one up in that match. And she will go on, along with Suzanne Paterson, Nahwan Choi, Paula Creamer, Angela Stanford, Christy Kerr, and Yanni Tseng. That's an awesome, awesome group going into the next round at Sybase. Great to see the LPGA playing. I wish they were playing every, and I wish Michelle Wee had won. But she'll be playing again a lot. She's still in school, and she's got a lot of work to do. We've got an awesome match play on the European Tour. They're playing in Andalusia. It's beautiful in Spain there. Just makes you want to go. We're going to see Martin Kamer and Luke Donald, as well as Nicholas Coulthard and Ian Poulter. They're in the two finals. And Coulthard, if you haven't heard of him, this isn't a guy who's just, you know, up the, all of a sudden sprang out of nowhere. He's been working hard on the European Tour, a very good player, and he's overcome quite a bit. Now, I was always also checking out, you know, the Colonial. We're watching to see just how David Toms does with a 62 and a 62. So I went to check out what happens in downtown Fort Worth. Do you know that in downtown Fort Worth, you can sign up for something called Over the Edge, and you could rappel 26 stories down the 714 Main Building? That's right, you get a view of the entire downtown Fort Worth. It's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to experience the big thrills and the excitement. You know, this is something that I probably won't sign up for. It's limited to 80 participants, so register now so you can rappel down 26 stories. I know there's somebody out there who wants to do that right now. Okay, we've got to wrap the show up. It's time to go. I want to thank Alakai Mechanical, the best minds in plumbing and air conditioning, sheet metal and commercial kitchen design, fabrication, excellent service, expert knowledge, work and product you can depend on. Hey, and they're celebrating their 37th anniversary, and they're giving you a present. That's right, Nike Power Distance Golf Balls. Star Protection for property threat, business assessment. You know, you want to find out whether you, the threat and risk to your property, what is it? Where are the loopholes? Where can somebody get in? You don't watch your property very much, do you? They'll tell you where the property threat and risk is, okay? So they'll assess it for you. They've got protection for your home, for your business. You want to get the star team on your property. That's star protection. And if you're putting on an event, you need protection for your stars. That's right. Call Star Protection. They're in Hawaii and California. Moon Physical Therapy, doctor recommended, insurance approved. They achieve results at Moon Physical Therapy. Whether you've been in a motor vehicle accident, you hurt yourself playing golf, it's because you didn't warm up, while you're recovering from surgery, see Julie Moon at Moon Physical Therapy. And Poipuve Golf Course, Kauai's South Shore gem, playing beautifully from tee to green. Special deals for visitors and kama'aina alike. Hawaii Golf News and Travel, 808golf.com, and catch us at radiogolf.com anytime. Thank you for your mana. May you hit the sweet spot every time. I'm Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
You've been listening to the award-winning Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club Network statewide. Tune in next week, and we'll feed up together only on the Golf Club.
Copyright 2011.